Hello and welcome to the Next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name's Kevin Appleby. So, Graham, today we've got an expert in PR with us. So much an expert, he's written a book on the subject.
This guy comes from really the middle of America, St. Louis, Missouri. Now, if you look at a map of America, it's right in the middle. It's a bit like Leicester is in the UK. You know, your furthest point away from the coast. So, Steve Turner, welcome to the Next 100 Days podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here. Looking forward to chatting with you guys.
So it looks like you've never been to the coast. If you've been in that Midwest all the time, have you never been to the coast then, Steve?
In the U.S. or in England?
No.
Well, the coast. I've been to London a few times.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, that's disappointing to hear that. It's certainly not my city.
But it's a place that Graham and I avoid.
Yeah, absolutely. We've still got our mobiles, you see, because we're from the up north. They don't get robbed by people. Anyway, but they could do with a decent PR agent in London, I think. I don't know what you'd say. Come to London and... I don't know. Ricky Gervais, you know, I don't know if you know Ricky Gervais. He's doing some really interesting stuff. And he's not well liked by certain people in London, but he's loved by the populace. You know, about where come to London and wear your stab vest, that kind of thing. But, you know, I'm sure you could do a better job at PR. But you have a company over there in Missouri called Solomon Turner. Now, how did that come about then, Steve?
Yeah, we've been in business for over three decades, if you can believe that. Wow. And I was in the radio business for a number of years and worked for an ad agency. And like the big idea of coming up with something really creative for a client, at the time I was selling radio time and doing news and sports. And so all I could do was sell time advertising on one radio station. But the ideas were like, gee, this would be great on a billboard. This might be a TV interview. But I couldn't do any of those things because I was just selling advertising on one station. So eventually I worked for an ad agency, and then I came back to my hometown here in St. Louis and started my own PR firm. And then that got going. And a few years later, I merged with an advertising agency, S. Solomon & Associates. And she had several employees, and they did different kinds of advertising and graphic design and brochures and things like that back in the day. Yeah. So we kind of combined efforts, and it was a complete and total merger. We got married.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's Sally then. I mean, she retains her maiden name or her other name for the business purposes.
Yeah, Shelley Solomon and Steve Turner. And so we combined to become Solomon Turner.
Right. Forgive me, Shelley. I did say Sally. But
close enough.
Her name first, Steve.
Pardon me?
Her name first. She's the boss.
That's right. Well, we used to joke that she got her name on the opening of the title, but I got the bigger office. So there was kind of a trade out.
Isn't that amazing that, you know, that kind of a business relationship between you and Shelley turned into a marriage thing. When did you realize that it was more than just business, or was it more than just business before it became business?
Well, actually, we did a little business together, and then we had mutual friends. So I had a friend, and she had a friend, and our friends knew each other. Yeah. So my friend and I went out to dinner one night, and Shelley and her friend went out to dinner at the same restaurant. And they said, oh, hi guys, why don't you join us for dinner? Yeah. So we did. And Shelley and I chatted and kind of hit it off. And then from there, we kind of started dating as we were doing business still. Mm-hmm. And one thing led to another. And here we are 35 years later.
I don't know about you, Kevin, but just listening to Steve's voice, I mean, you could bottle that voice, and you could definitely have it as an avatar on an AI avatar.
Oh yeah,
it's perfect for a sports commentary. I mean, you said that earlier, but what a voice!
I mean, Graham, we've always said that you've got a face for radio, but Steve's got a voice for radio.
And the face probably too, but I did a lot of sports play by play and news and things like that. So that's kind of where I developed the golden tones, as they say, of vocalism.
It, but that is such a talent, though, don't you think? That you can actually express something with words and the way in which you, especially in the sports arena, where things are happening really quickly. Although it's American sport, so it's no. You've got plenty of time, haven't you? Let's face it. It's not like soccer. It's like football. When it's really going quick in America, you've got about 3 hours between each player, haven't you? I mean, isn't that what it happens?
Well, we have American football, which is fun. But you do have a little pause between each play. Baseball, which is slow to a lot of people that aren't into the game. But we
That's
do have
amazing.
soccer and golf, all these things.
Well, golf's
I
got
think you've got
breaks
the
every now and
voice.
again. Sorry,
You've got the
Kevin.
voice, Steve, for the golf commentary.
Oh,
That's
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, I did do some of that. I actually did a boxing match or two back in the day on one of our TV setups here in the St. Louis area, which was kind of odd, but I had never done boxing before, and it's interesting. It's interesting to watch these guys throw punches and
You'll
see what happens.
never be without work, Steve. That's for sure. I mean, your voice is your fortune, really. But that said, you're working with clients in, it says here, architecture, construction, finance, high tech, professional services, retail, sports marketing. Plenty of clients there.
Yeah, we've done a lot of work with all kinds of companies, real estate, construction, retail. We've worked with personalities like Tony Robbins, who you may have heard of, motivational speaker Brian Tracy. We do special events, so healthcare. We've kind of worked the gamut over time, working with all kinds of companies. Recently, we've been involved with this classic car dealer, which has kind of been fun. And his dilemma was kind of the reverse of everybody else's. Most people start local and build up their trade, and they say, well, how do we expand this out nationally or even internationally? In his case, he was getting clients from all over the world who were interested in like a 1930s Porsche or Rolls-Royce or something. And he'd get these people from, the Mid East or Dubai, whatever, to buy these cars. And so his thing was, well, people know me, but they don't know me as well in St. Louis as they know me in other places around the world. And I would really like to get some local publicity out of this. So they engaged us to help with that effort. And it worked out really well. And we actually won an award for local coverage and stuff like that. So that was a lot of fun. But those are the kind of things we like, we get excited about. We've worked on some really unique projects. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Jackie Robinson, the baseball player that broke the color barrier in the United States.
Vaguely, I think. Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, so he signed these contracts, and this one company was able to obtain these original contracts that were worth a fortune. And they called us out of the blue and said, can you help us promote this? We're going to be coming into the St. Louis area to do a promotion with the St. Louis Baseball Cardinals. Can you do something? And so I said, yeah, I think so. So we scrambled. It was like a last minute thing, and we had terrific coverage on all the TV stations and all these things. So we do a lot of that kind of thing. That doesn't happen all the time. But sometimes people will call us with these crazy things and we have to jump through hoops at the last minute to make it work.
I did see in prep. I saw just a short interview with obviously a local TV station, where it was it well it really was just a PR interview. I mean, where can they find you, Steve? Oh, well, here's my email. I mean, really? I mean, did you have to pay for that, or was it just, hey, no, Steve's a great guy, we'll bring him in? And yeah. I don't know, how do you get gigs like that with TV?
Yeah, that may have been a long time ago, but yeah, every once in a while we'll do something. You're probably familiar with Taylor Swift, who everybody loves, the international superstar. So years ago, before she became as big as she is now, she was still a great marketer and she was releasing albums and people loved them. So we saw her. She was on all the big talk shows on the networks here in the US. And so we were sitting there one night and go, you know what? This lady is a better marketer than a singer, or maybe at least equal. I mean, she's amazing. She's everywhere and doing all these tricks and stunts and all these things. And so I wrote a blog about it, and I sent it to the local TV stations just as, not knowing what they would think. And sure enough, our Fox affiliate called and said, "Hey, Steve, can you come on and talk about Taylor Swift?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." So I was able to do that, and that was a lot of fun. I mean, something totally unexpected, but timely.
She would have followed up with you, Steve, saying, here's a some sort of legal thing that so you can't use my name again or something like that. And, or was she quite, did she actually mention anything? Did she actually connect to you?
No, it was just a news thing, and it was fun. I think it was like a 1989 was the name of the album, something like that. It was quite a while ago now, but at the time it was really big stuff, and she was doing all the talk shows and everything they all do to get the publicity out for their albums and things like that. So
I'm not particularly interested in her, but I know Kevin's into his teenage bands, aren't you, Kevin?
no, you've got to get the other end of the spectrum. I'd be interested if it was Springsteen doing all the talk shows or something like
Fair
that.
enough. No, that's fine. So, but you, Steve, you are a PR guy, and I guess for those people listening in, they're thinking, "Well, look, you've got this great guy." But I haven't really got a clue what PR is. So I'm a small business. Why on earth would I want public relations or PR?
So what the PR does is position your company to grow and do business in the market you're in. It creates relationships with your customers, your stakeholders, your prospective customers, and gives them a reason to do business with you. Why am I choosing your company? How do we position us so we stand out from the competition? And PR does that. It's not advertising, it's not lead generation. Those are different gimmicks that people can do, like Facebook advertising, Google advertising, things like that. That's not what PR does. It's more about relationship building for the long term. And it positions the company so that they're good guys to do business with. So they see an article about the CEO, they see you on television with an interview. There's an article in a trade journal, depending on what it is. Maybe there's a radio interview. So all these things add up. And all these are excellent tools of a third-party endorsement. So instead of us sending out brochures and email newsletters and all these things saying, "Hey, we're great, we're great, we're great, buy from us," it's the media saying we're great. So you get the newspaper saying, "Oh, these guys are really good." The TV station saying, "These guys are really good. We just did a story on them." So you get this implied third-party endorsement that the salespeople could take out and use in presentations when they go out and they see prospective customers. So that's the beauty of this. And you're establishing these long-term relationships over time with journalists and other key people in the community. Maybe you get more involved in the community. You get involved with charities and different things like that. And your PR can play a strong role with that and really build up your identity in the local community and have some really nice impact and really separate you from your competition.
So, Steve, you're guesting here on the Next 100 Days podcast. That follows that model of a third-party media effectively endorsing you. What do you think the power of podcasts are these days? Because, hey, there are so many podcasts about now.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, there are a lot. I think they have to be promoted like anything else. And some of the podcast hosts are great at promoting their podcast, and some aren't as good. What we like to do when I'm a guest is promote it on our end. So we get links to the, like this one, we'll get the links and we'll put it on our social channels, our LinkedIn, our Facebook, Instagram, whatever. So you get a lot of more boost out of this, a lot more legs from the event. And this kind of ties into everything that we're talking about lately with clients, is how do we get more legs from our traditional media coverage? You see an article in the paper and people say, oh, well, yeah, my friend saw it. And, you know, I had a couple clients mention it and this, that, but I'm not sure if it really meant that much. Well, so what you have to do in this day and age with the, you know, media spread out so many different places and so many vehicles, you have to take the links to these stories and then use them to your advantage, put them on all your social sites so you can play that up. And so a lot more people are going to see it. If you have five people in your company, let's say, you get the link to a TV interview and have all five people put that out there. Well, then you're not reaching hundreds or, you know, just the thousands that watch the show. You're reaching tens of thousands of people on top of that. And a lot of the times it's going direct into their email box or whatever. So it's not just the promote the event itself or the media itself, it's how you promote it afterwards where you really get the gravy.
We're missing a trick here, Kevin. We should be charging Steve a lot more money than we are.
Yeah,
We're charging
that's
nothing.
right.
It's a proper Yorkshire price, zero. But no, seriously though, it's a great explanation, Steve. And you know, what I like about you already is the fact you seem to, because of your age and your experience, you can delve back into the sort of into last century and the way in which things happened then before phones, flip phones, mobile phones, and before the and certainly before the internet, as can Kevin and I. And you know, so but we have a perspective in that way, but many people listening maybe just don't. Is there a difference in the way in which PR works with, let's just say, millennials? All my three kids are millennials, as they told me on the weekend, and they called me a boomer. I said, I'm a baby boomer. And my youngest said, yeah, but that's something a boomer would say. But I just thought that was funny, a cheeky sod. And but basically, you know, but the thing is, do they react differently to PR? Or is there a sort of the same now as it is in 1,000 years? Is it basically the same, or are there nuances?
Well, yeah, there are nuances now. It's mostly digital. So if you look at people who subscribe to newspapers and read magazines and things like this, or watch the TV news in the US, it's an older crowd for sure. I mean, you don't see 25-year-olds turning on the 10 o'clock news every night to catch up. Now they will go online to see what the news stories of the day are. And they'll be in like short chunks just so they can kind of keep up on what's happening, or just through their usual stuff on Facebook or Instagram or wherever they're looking, they'll run into stories that way. And if it's something that interests them, they may want to click on it and read it more in depth.
I
But there's a
know,
lot of that going on.
I know a friend of ours in the sort of AI space. We part of what I do is in the AI space, and what he's done quite cleverly is almost like scrape the kind of news outlets that he would be going to, so he misses that, and it gets the articles of interest to him, and then that just presents in his morning digest. Now, to be honest with you, that would probably for me that would work for about a day, and then I'd You know, it would be over and done with. But he swears by it, so he's getting the digest that he wants and the articles that he wants, but he's not necessarily getting subjected to articles that might be left field but could be quite valuable to him.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. I tell people and a lot of business people, you subscribe to the Wall Street Journal for sure. I mean, you're going to get in-depth stuff you're not going to get anywhere else. And so they have great journalists and great reporting. And yeah, I mean, they have a conservative bend in some cases and some other things, but it's just great. And I, you know, and I enjoy reading it. And every time I start reading an article, there's another one that's like, oh, this is pretty interesting. And then there's another one and another one. So that's good. If you want a different kind of approach, the New York Times here in the US is good. I mean, and there's a lot of them. But if you're in business, you really need to read your trade journals to keep up with what's going on in your industry. I mean, that's a necessity. So you need that. If those are in digital form, great, and you can read them that way. If not, subscribe, get the hard copy. But you need to keep up. So those are all important things. And those are also great PR vehicles because a lot of these trade journals will talk about the kind of company you have in your industry and may actually be interested to do a portfolio piece on your company if it's a good fit, or talk about new hires that you have in your company, a new product, a new service, a new approach.
Well, I can imagine that helps when it comes to getting chunks of referrals within, say, ChatGPT or other LLMs that they basically can see that third party referral and that endorses you in a way that makes you more credible and so forth. So I can definitely see that. It seems an awful lot of work, Steve, for the small guy who's doing the stuff that, in the time that he or she has, and now I've got to do all this other stuff. Now, presumably what you'd say was just hire me.
Yeah, so if you're talking about a small company doing a PR campaign, yeah, so what we recommend is if you have a small budget but you want to get it out there, is there are people called PR freelancers. And so what you want to do is maybe hire them. If you have a marketing person on staff that's a good writer, that's a good place to start. But you need to have some kind of a writing structure, a creative writer on staff to make some of this happen, or hire it out. And you can do that, pay people by the hour or whatever, if you don't have that on your team. So that's one way to make it work. But you need somebody who knows how to write a news release and maybe connect with journalists and talk to them and talk to editors of magazines and things like that. So there's a skill set involved there. And
How much has
yeah.
AI changed that game, Steve?
Pardon me?
How much has AI changed that game? You say you need a news release writer.
Yeah,
Then ChatGPT write me a news release.
we found that there's a couple of issues with AI. But journalists, for one thing, and this is interesting, they kind of see a lot of the pitches coming in, and a lot of them are almost exactly the same. And they're like, oh, yeah, this was written by AI, and everybody's using it. And it's like, oh, gosh. So a lot of the time, the journalists now are just deleting it. If they can smell that it's written by AI, out the door it goes. So you have no chance. But what AI does is it gives you some good ideas for writing stuff. You don't want it to make the final product necessarily, but you could download some things and say, make me a news release about a new dog kennel opening up in so and so area. Well, maybe it'll do that, and it won't be perfect, but it'll be maybe close enough to give you some ideas of how you can tweak that to make it sound like it's your voice and position it well, and then get it out there to some folks.
I before we came together today, I asked Claude, as it happens, because I find Claude writes better than most, even including the one that I promote, which is MechLabs AI, developed by another kind of Midwestern guy, Flint McLaughlin, who lives in Montana. I suppose you'd call that Midwest, other side of it from your point of view, but it's still. But the thing about that is that I asked Claude to sort of there was a sort of registration thing for an event I'm going to in 3 weeks, and I just couldn't be. And it was like 10,000 characters up to that. So I don't want to write 10,000 characters because I just dare say nobody's going to read that. But can I get it interesting? And so I just said, look, you have a shot, and it did. And then to your point, Steve, I then edited it. And then what I did is I sent that edited version back to them. And he then said, he, because I treat it as a person, he then said, oh, I see that was good. That was good. I want to point out there was a little error in terms of a misplaced colon. Ah, that was helpful. So basically, it was, I would imagine the sort of wise PR receiving guy in the newspaper could probably spot that. But this is going to other people in this event, and to be honest with you, it was about time. So maybe I used it, I edited it, but maybe I could have edited it more. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's fine. No, that's in that case, I wouldn't worry about it. But if you're trying to land like a really nice article in a major national newspaper, they're gonna those kind of journalists get pitched daily 20, 30, 50 emails a day, and so they're gonna smell it out right away and just go click, 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 click till they find something of value.
I can say exactly that on this podcast, Steve. I'm being pitched all the time by podcast agents. And I've noticed over the last few months, there's been a trend to the pitch document that I get sent being exactly the same. It always starts off,
Oh,
"Hey, Kevin, was listening to such and such guest, really impressed. Loved the way they, whatever. Oh, I've got a similar guest who could extend on that angle or give something, just a little different tweak
this is
on
how Steve got in touch with us, Kevin. Stop
that."
upsetting him.
Steve obviously managed to work out how to get my attention through all of these emails, which is why he's sitting here.
Well, it's true.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's true.
but well, there's technique to everything, and writing, is really crucial. And I talk about that quite a bit in my new book, PR That Works, where we talk about real strategies and real campaigns that we've executed. And there's 28 strategies in the book of how you can do all these things, and it's actual work that we've done. And we started from scratch, and just to give people ideas on how to do some of this stuff.
All right,
So you're not just the Me Too over and over again like everybody else.
I love that approach, by the way. So it's real stuff you've done. So if we, I don't know if you can sort of flip through the book, but if we just pick a random number, it's not random, but let's just say number 14. So more or less halfway through, because at that stage you're getting bored and you think, oh, God, I wish this book would be done by now. But number 14 that you've done. What was that all about in your book? And the book is called.
PR That Works, real strategies, real campaigns, real results.
Wow.
And the interesting thing, and I'm, 14 is a great chapter because that's on thought leadership. So what I'm doing today in some instances is a thought leader for public relations. And you can do that for other things. What is thought leadership? Everybody talks about thought leadership. What is it really? Well, it's becoming a higher level person in your industry that gets talked about by major players. You want to become well known, you want to build your brand, whether it's your personal brand or your corporate brand. And you can do that through thought leadership, which is going on podcasts, perhaps doing speaking, writing blogs and articles. And if you do enough of these things over time, there could be some television opportunities where people say, oh, this guy really knows his stuff in that industry. Let's bring him on and get him quotes and see what he seems to think about it. So no matter what it is, or you could be a thought leader in your specific industry. And that's what that chapter's about. And there's all kinds of different ways to do that. We good example in one instance is we worked and have worked with an author who wrote a book about the history of the Jeep. And a lot of people don't know that the Jeep was created in the 1940s for World War II to take on the Nazi Blitzkrieg. And so a lot of things went into the development of the Jeep, and all the countries got involved and the Allies to figure this out. Well, they had to design this vehicle in months, not years, which is an impossibility today. Design it and produce it to get it on the war field. So it was interesting. And the guy who wrote that, Paul Bruno, has basically become a thought leader on early Jeep history. And we started with him from scratch with the book and got him on podcasts. And then this has developed over time with newspaper articles, blogs, different things. And he's been invited by museums to speak there. And it's just really kind of picked up, and grown over time. So he's kind of looked at as a thought leader now for early
Yeah.
Jeep history. I mean, nobody knows more about it than he does. Actually,
You know where the Jeeps were made? I mean, presumably, if it was like, like Musk does with his software, it's like open source. If they wanted it to be produced, presumably it was produced in lots of different factories, but or was there one particular place where they shipped Jeeps from?
Yeah, originally the Jeeps were made in Butler, Pennsylvania. A small company there actually got the first contract bidding against Ford and all these other people. And somehow they got it. And they had limited capacity, though. So the government said, well, we need a lot more. So that's where Willis came in and Ford came in. And they needed Ford's manufacturing capability to really get them out there. So it was interesting because the history behind all these bidding wars and all these things with the generals and the administrators and all these people from the UK as well got involved. I mean, it's an interesting read.
Yeah, Kevin, up your street more than mine, I think.
And I actually, Graham, I owned a Jeep, one of the more, it was a few cars ago. For the record, the worst car I have ever owned. But
I've
it
heard
did have
that.
me doing some research back into the origin of Jeep and so on. And I remember working in the Ministry of Defence. We work in the army supply chain, and talking to a couple of the colonels that were in charge of maintaining vehicles and so on. And I remember one of them saying, "Kevin, you know that American war film? You know where you see 15 GIs hanging off one Jeep going to battle? Well, you do realize that would never happen in the UK with our army. We've got enough Land Rovers for every soldier to have one each."
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's interesting.
You describe your business as a multimedia PR firm. Is it quite difficult for you? I mean, maybe Shelley does most of that work, but I mean, is it difficult for you to keep up with all the media that you need to become a multimedia PR firm?
Yes and no. I mean, a lot of things we don't do in-house. So we'll bring in experts that can do that. Maybe you need a social media person or a videographer, somebody like that. So, you can hire that out and get those things done that way. Other things we do. And yes, you need to keep up with what's going on, at least have a working knowledge in how it's going to benefit your client and benefit your agency in the long run. So you need to do a lot of research, a lot of writing, keep up with the trends and go to conferences and seminars and things like that.
I really hesitate to ask this question because, to be honest with you, with your experience in being in front of the camera, but also, doing PR for ages. So, what's the question that Kevin's missed? He should have asked you this, but I would have asked it, but Kevin's brighter than I am. So, what's the question we haven't asked you that you expected?
Well, what I like to talk about is how do you put together a PR campaign from scratch? And it's kind of five steps, no matter if you're Ford or if you're a small business person, it's the same process. It's number one is what's the objective? What are we trying to accomplish? What are we doing? And if you can be specific as possible, you're going to get a much better return on investment. So that's always the first thing. The objective could be help the sales guys sell 20% more product, get in with more audiences of size. We want to get through with engineering companies that are $1 million and above, located in different places around the US. Those kind of objectives are great, and the more specific, the better. So you want to do that, and then you want to identify your audience on a macro level. Who are they? A lot of people say, well, we have our audience is women 25 to 54. Well, there's a big difference between a woman 25 and one that's 54. So you have to identify, well, who is the real customer here? Who are we really trying to reach? So that's very important. And if it's somebody like an engineering company, well, okay, who are they? What are they making? Are they in the U.S.? Are they international? Are they $1 million? Are they $100 million? You know, all these things. Who are the CEOs? How do we relate to them? Are they our age group? Are they younger? Are they, what are they? So you kind of have to play all these things out with your messaging, which is number three, which is, what is the message? How do we differentiate our company from everybody else that's out there and everything else that's going on to cut through the noise? So that's number three. It doesn't have to be something cute like an ad slogan, but something that penetrates through, and it can be a couple of sentences or a paragraph, but something people can identify and hold on to. So that's number three. Number four is a delivery system. How are we reaching these people? Is it TV? Is it radio? Is it a trade journal? Is it social media? Is our big focus on LinkedIn, or is it Google search? You know, what are we trying to do here? So that delivery system to reach those specific customers and people we're trying to target is number four. Then at the end of the day, it's measurement. How are we measuring all this? How do we know if it's working? And what's the ROI? So if you do the first four steps correctly, the ROI will show up and you'll be happy over the long term. It's not an overnight thing. It's not like, hey, we're going to do this for a month and get 10 sales. It doesn't work like that. But if you work hand in hand with the sales guys and the marketing guys, you can put together a program and give them the ammunition they need to increase their sales and do a better job. And at the end of the day, you start seeing these upswings in sales and revenue and profit. And it's like, oh, okay, we didn't quite have this before we did this campaign, but now we're starting to see the results 6 months, a year down the road. This is great. Let's keep it going. We're getting a really great return on investment, 3 times, 5 times, 10 times the investment. This is what we want. And so if you do these steps, you'll get that ROI. But a lot of companies just kind of jump in and say, oh, we'll just get some publicity for publicity's sake and see what happens. Well, I mean, that's fine, but that's not going to give you the results you want.
Yeah.
You know, that, Kevin, that's the best answer we've ever had for a question we never posed.
It is.
Yeah.
And I was going to jump in there when Steve told me we'd missed the question. I'd actually ask him the question, but hey, you beat me to it. So it does fall in.
Oh, yeah. So isn't that funny? You always do this, Kevin.
You himself. Yes.
You never do. You didn't. You weren't going to ask that question.
Well, I was after Steve told me what it was.
All right. Okay. Fair. But no, it's great. I mean, that little snippet will be really helpful for people. You know, because I think there is a hardness to it. Usually, I've got to say the biggest problem I've had with PR over the years is the lack, even with PR professionals. I know they might talk about ROI, but they don't like talking about ROI because it is a little bit hard and you're on the hook for it. I don't know. Is that an unfair observation, do you think?
No, a lot of people shy away from it because they don't understand how it all works. So if you don't get your client as a PR person to list out an objective that's doable, reachable, that makes sense over time, then yeah, I mean, they're going to say, well, you know, what's the ROI? I don't know. It's hard to measure. I mean, you could do specific stuff like web hits. Okay. You know, we ran an article, we got 10 more people than we normally would have on a specific day. I mean, you can do all that kind of stuff. I think that's periphery to you know, a lot of ways. But, you know, long term, and a PR campaign is long term. It's not like bang, bang, here's some Facebook ads, we're going to get sales. It's how do we build this relationship with our prospective customers and our current clients and stakeholders over a long period of time to get them more involved with us and do more business with us. Find out more about how we work and how we're different than everybody else out there. And if you follow those rules and play that game, you're going to get much better ROI than somebody that just throwing up their hands and can't talk about it.
One question I have, what would Shelley say about you?
Well, it depends on the time and the day. Right now, probably nothing good. You don't want to know.
But she obviously has worked with you for a long time. So would she say something about just your character that maybe she understands better than anyone?
Yeah, I think, we get along really well because she's more, I would say, she's one of the great salespeople out there. She just has a really gift for that, and she's great about getting to know people and getting them attracted to her and things like that in a professional way. Yeah, I'm more probably laid back than she is, and so maybe more operational, looking at big picture stuff and execution and things like that. So
Yeah.
it's an interesting marriage, both business and in personal life.
We won't delve any further, so you're off the hook there. Kevin, do you have any last minute questions? The ones that you were gonna, yeah, you see, you're
There
looking.
was one question I was going to ask, and we started talking about that five-step process and talking through the ROI. Just flip back to that example of the guy who wrote the book on Jeep. What was the objective initially when you started with that particular client? Was it just to promote the book, or was it to actually make him the world expert in Jeeps?
Yeah, both. Nobody really knew about the book, and so they brought us on to help get the word out, sell books, which has gone well. I think he's done like three or four different versions now, updates and a different take and more graphic oriented books on Jeeps and things like that. So that's worked. And then the thought leadership piece, where he's out there more, he's appearing at Jeep shows and speaking and doing these things. Radio interviews, podcasts, all that kind of stuff, and people call. So that's where you want to be. If you can get the media to call you over time for quotes and things like that on a specific area, I think that's great. We actually wrote letters to the editor on the Stellantis Jeep thing when they were having all kinds of issues, and it's like save the Jeep and all that. So we worked with Paul, and we put some letters together and sent them out to newspapers, and several ran them, and with his name and author of and this kind of thing. So, yeah, that has paid off.
I guess one of the things we're trying to do here is turn the lead generation model around so that you're not sending out those cold emails looking for customers, running that sort of campaign, but you're sitting there waiting for the call to come to you from whoever it is. You've put yourself in people's mind. And I know personally from some of the stuff I do with our tech partners in Grow CFO, I've done a lot of reaching out to tech firms and got nowhere. But most of our best tech partners are people that I never reached out to in the first place. They came to me.
Yeah, we get business, like everybody else these days, digitally. I mean, people see you on Google or whatever, and so they contact you that way. Oh, I saw this thing about your company. You've been ranked in the top St. Louis PR firms for 17 years in a row, and we wanted to see if you could help us out. So those things happen. What's kind of weird now too, which you need to check your website every day because people will say, we want to talk to you about a PR campaign and leave a note on your website. I mean, they don't even call. They don't even send you an email. They just leave like a note on your website. It's like, okay, well, and that's led to, some really nice client relationships. But that's kind of how business is done. A lot of it's kind of this third party approach where people don't want to pick up the phone like the old days. They just kind of send you, they don't even send you an email. Just put tape up a form on your website and say, we're looking for a PR firm. Can you help? So it's kind of weird, but that's how it's done these
I
days.
have to say that's exactly how most of my business comes. But it's been done by design because that's where we want them to come from. Last thing I want to do with my life and what's left of it is chase people. I
Hard
just, you know.
work.
Well, it's not demeaning as such, but it's a deflection from the time that I could be using more productively. And I think if you can organize your marketing and your PR to to have people coming at you at a particular velocity. I mean, if I had 20 people call me in the next day or so, and all wanting campaigns, I would be snowed under. That would not be what I want. So, that's led to certain decisions about how we go about these things. But, at the end of the day, Well, look, let's draw this to a close because, to be honest with you, Steve, you have spent, when we listen back to this, there are so many nuggets. You are quite the a professional when it comes to PR. We're very grateful to you and kind of indirectly to Shelley for being on the Next 100 Days podcast.
Graham, a really good whistle stop tour of PR that works.
Yeah, don't you just feel that it was so interesting to listen to? He has a wonderful voice, so much experience. Love the fact that he'd got 28 different sort of approaches that you can take with PR. And, you know, we just pick one at random and he was able to talk to it really convincingly and with a real example. So, you know, there's no BS here. It's just straightforward stuff that you can still do in a digital age.
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked many times on, you know, writing the book in order to be the authority and stand head on shoulders over other people, which is clearly what he's done in the book that he's bringing out. But now it's good to talk about all those other sources of PR. And I like that five-step process. And you're not just doing PR for PR's sake. No. Start with step one. What is your objective here?
Yeah, and the important thing that I took from that was the more specific you can be, the clearer you can be at that point, the rest of it flows. And maybe that's the bit that, as he said, the alternative is that let's just throw stuff at PR. And without having a clear objective. And I think that is really, that's where people just got off to the wrong start, really.
Really do think for most people, think about it in this way that, you know, you get lots of people talking about lead generation, about running campaigns, about chasing folk who might not be ready to buy and taking a lot of effort. Think about PR effectively as flipping this round the other way. That you're putting the word out about you in a load of very good ways, using lots of third-party assistance, such that when people are ready to buy, they're thinking, oh, who do I buy this service from? And you're top of mind.
Well, you might be top of mind, but you might also be more trusted because of the exposure that you've had. And that just, it just... increases the odds that somebody's going to pick up the phone to you or send you a message on an email.
People buy from people. And I would say that if I was listening to this podcast and I was in a position I needed somebody to help me with PR, I've just heard this great guy with that wonderful voice, felt the human part of him coming across. We've talked in a natural, very non-salesy sort of way. We've talked about stuff that works, stuff that doesn't work. He's proved his expertise. Now, if I was after somebody who knows about PR right now, why wouldn't I give him a call?
Well, you would. And the way in which you can find him is at solomonturner.com. His wife, Shelley Solomon, she manages the day-to-day operations as well as advertising and all that kind of stuff. And obviously, Steve's the man on the PR side. So basically, Solomon Turner, multimedia PR, and they're based in St. Louis, sorry, you're getting that wrong, in Missouri. So it's been another wonderful podcast, this time with Steve Turner. I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Sorry, Kevin.
Oh, don't worry.
I
Don't
shouldn't
worry.
have answered that bugger. Right. Right. Okay. If you'd be good enough to sort of dispatch that off as soon as, I'll get that done and up because I need next week's going to get frantic. So, what are we doing?
Oh, and Zoom have moved things around again. There's the stop record button.